You're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos. Tonight's Amud is Mem Dalet Amud Beis. I just want to start off with two quick points from Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So as you might have remembered, I wasn't planning on giving the Thursday night shiur, and so I didn't have as much time to prepare as I would have liked. And I just want to point out two quick corrections. One of them was a Harawi brought up, just the role of the Peres Genosar in the salt discussion. So, right, the Mishnah was speaking about salt. When you bring salt, and then the bread becomes tafel to the salted food. So we asked, how is that possible? And then we explained, oh, that like the Peres Genosar, it seemed to have nothing to do with the salt. So what it seems, after being my eye a little bit more, it seems that what people would do is they would eat the Peres Genosar with salt, because they were so incredibly sweet that they needed salt to counter it. So now you have these salted Peres Genosar, and those, when matched up with the bread, become the ikar, because they're so chashiv. So it's something like the Peres Genosar, which are such chashiv foods, then that's the salted thing that we're talking about, in which bread will become tafel to it. So that's the first point. And the second point I noticed also being, I'm just looking more just Rashi and the Psukim, when there the discussion, the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabban Gamliel about whether you bench over the Shiva Saminim or only on bread. So I realized, like, looking more carefully at the Psukim, that this is what it's saying. So there are three Psukim there. One is Eretz Chisa Usara Gefen Usainan, that's one Pasuk that speaks about the fruits, the Shiva Saminim. The next Pasuk says that you're going to be eating bread, right? It says, Eretz Asher Lo B'miskenus Tochal Ba'alechem. You're going to eat bread, but not in poverty. So it's talking about eating bread. And then the third Pasuk says, V'yachata V'savata V'yirachta S'Hashem Elchecha L'Arche Tov Asher Nasan Lech, the mitzvah of benching. So again, the three Psukim are Shiva Saminim, bread, benching. And the Machlokis is, how do we view that? So the Chachamim say, well, it says Shiva Saminim, then bread, then benching, so it's bread, benching. Shiva Saminim is a different discussion. Shiva Saminim doesn't have to do with the benching. It's bread, benching, that's our discussion. Well, Rabban Gamliel says no. The benching is going on to both Psukim, the Shiva Saminim and the bread. So why does the bread interrupt? If it's Shiva Saminim, bread is made out of Shiva Saminim, right? Bread is made out of wheat. So it wouldn't have to interrupt with the bread pasuk. Why is it interrupting? Then the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel is saying that no, the bread pasuk is an interruption to say that not all of the Shiva Saminim are necessarily going to be benching, meaning if it's wheat that's just being chewed, as opposed to not being made into bread, or some sort of bread, you know, at least some sort of cake or something, then you're not going to bench it. Raw wheat is not going to be bench-worthy. How do we know? Because the pasuk does, it says the Shiva Saminim, and the next pasuk says, eat bread, but not like chewing wheat. So that's how they read the pasuk. Right? I had a different pshat, which I think also works and complements it, but the baseline shot what the Gemara is saying is as I just explained now, and as I neglected to fully explain Thursday night. Okay, so if you didn't catch it, you could just review it in the review, or as you review this year. But I just wanted to get that out there. Okay, so let's take it from the top. Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said in the name of Rabbeinu, the name of Rav. Al ha-beya v'al mine kufra, on a beya is a beitza, an egg, and on mine kufra, types of meat, as Rashi explains. Kol mine basar, says Rashi. So what are you saying, these things, on eggs and meat? Betchila mevarech shahakol v'sof b'rei nefashos rabos v'chulei. You say a shahakol before, and a b'rei nefashos rabos at the end. Aval yarka, but vegetables, lo. You do not. Rashi explains, lo, tzarech levruche acharei. Vegetables do not require bracha achrona. I wonder if this includes fruits that are not Shiva Saminim. It could be it also does. But maybe not. Maybe it's just dafka, a vegetable thing. Perhaps vegetables are less chashiv because they are, like, it's more like, we know in general fruits are more chashiv than vegetables. You know, it's that's discussed. Of course, in the tree, it's higher up. Vegetables are for like animals also. Fruits are like a little bit more for elevated, especially in the time of Adam. Okay, but anyway, that's what he holds. Rav Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yitzchak argues with Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and he says, Afila Yarka, even vegetables you make a shakal and brain of ashos. Avamaya, low, but not on water. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Maya, Rav Papa says, you even make these brachos on water. So Marzutra Ovid Kerev Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, he did like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, the first opinion, that he wouldn't make it on vegetables and water. Rav Shimi Barashi Ovid Kerev Yitzchak, and Rav Shimi Bar Ashi would hold like Rav Yitzchak, so he didn't make it on water, but he did make it on vegetables. V'simonach, and your mnemonic device, your simon to remember which Amora did like which earlier Amoraic opinion. Chad k'trei v'trei k'chad. One like two and two like one. That's your tip. So the way Rashi explains it is that Marzutra is mentioned, he's one, because he's only he is mentioned. As opposed to the other later Amoraic opinion, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, he's the two, because he's named with his father's name. So Marzutra is the one, and Rav Shimi Bar Ashi is the two. And the two holds like Rav Yitzchak, as opposed to the one, the two holds like Rav Yitzchak, as opposed to the one, who's Marzutra, holds like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who's the two. Right? So, meaning of our earlier Amoraic opinions, at least quoting two of those, one of them is mentioned with his father's name, so he's the two, and the other's mentioned by himself. And in the later two Amoraim, one of them is mentioned with his father's name, one's mentioned by himself. So it's Trei Kechad and Chad Ketrei. So I don't know if the Gemara put this in here, if this was the Savarayim later, because they did a lot of the Simanim. I wonder if the reason they felt the need to do this is because you have two Amoraic opinions, and both of them are Rav Yitzchak, right? Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, not Rav Papa's. No one holds like Rav Papa here, right? Yet. So it's Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, so I wonder if the Gemara or the Savarayim felt the need just to, you know, make it easier for you. But anyway, because we don't just make the questions because we don't see this all over Shas. So why would it be here? But it could be that's the reason. Because we don't have Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi are not the most common Amorayim that we see around. And they might be confused, so perhaps that's why. Okay. Anyway, don't feel bad for Rav Papa, because here we go. Amar Ravashi says, Ano, I, Zimna Dechi Madkar, that original, right, so Rav Papa is the one that says, even water you do these brachos on. So Rav Ashi says, when I'm able to remember, I do shackles, which is so interesting. You know, like, for us, it's like, are you kidding? I always remember, of course, I mean, I try to always remember to say this, like, Rav Ashi doesn't always remember. So, it's interesting. I think the Mepharshim do discuss this. Rav Ashi doesn't really make much note of it, neither does Tosos, but if before the halacha is, like, codified, like, it looks like he says, like, maybe the halacha, not necessarily, but it's a nice thing to do when you're able to. Could be also, you know, you're drinking throughout the day. I don't know. Anyway, we're supposed to remember, so let's do our best. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Shaton Bracha La'achrav, Ton Bracha La'fanav. V'yesh Shaton Bracha La'fanav, V'ein Ton Bracha La'achrav. So it's like almost like a riddle, this Mishnah. It's Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah says, anything that requires a Bracha Acharona requires a Bracha Rishona. But there are things that require a Bracha Rishona that do not require Bracha Acharona. Okay, good riddle. So Bishlama the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, this is good to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Lafuke Yarka, because it excludes a vegetable. He says that a Yerek does not requires a Bracha Rishona, not a Bracha Achrona, so this case in the Mishnah works well according to his shot. The Rav Yitzchak Lafuke Maya, and it also works for Rav Yitzchak, because it could be referring to water. By the way, according to the previous opinion, it could be referring to vegetable or water. But Rav Yitzchak could be referring to water. El Rav Papa, Lafuke Mai. Rav Papa, what do you make a bracha rishon on that you don't make a bracha achron on? You said even water you make a bracha achron on. Lafuke mitzvos. Ah, birchas mitzvos. Birchas mitzvos, you make a bracha before, right? You make a bracha before the Rashi says, Evarchim kimasalkin tefillin, you make a bracha before the tefillin, before tzitzis. We don't make a bracha when you take off tefillin, when you take off tzitzis after the kiya shofar, after the lulav. You don't make a bracha after. So maybe that's what it's referring to. Viliv name arava debaser de masalki tefillaihu mevarchi. But according to those who live in Eretz Yisrael, who after they take off their tefillin, they make the bracha asher kiddushanu. Right, that acronym over there, Rosh Hashanah, is Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos HaVitzivanu L'Shmor Chukav, Right? So there was a bracha that they would say in Eretz Yisrael that when they would take off their tefillin, they would make a bracha up when they're taking off their tefillin. So according to them, lafuke mai, lafuke rechane. So okay, so it's to exclude smells. That bracha that you only make a bracha rishona on besamim and all the and anything that smells good, everything we discussed in Mem Gimel. So you make a bracha rishona, you don't make a bracha achrona. Now one question you could have asked here, well, what about all the other mitzvos? Tefillin seems to be an exception. Right, so but Tosfos over here addresses that. He leaves as a question. It's like the last few lines of Tosfos. V'kasha d'havi matzei l'shnui haki lafuke shar mitzvos alfila b'nei merava. But you know, tefillin's one exception, right? So they could Gonar could have said that. Tosfos leaves it here undealt with. But there's a little text that if you, at least in mind that refers me to the Masoros Hashas, which quotes a parallel Tosfos in Nida where he basically where he addresses it. Basically, it was a simpler answer to go with. You know, a broad category of, okay, so referring to Rechanes, all smelling brachos. Yeah, meaning yes, it's true. You could have said the other mitzvos also, but we wanted to give like a full category, but really that would be an acceptable answer as well. One quick point, there's one quick point. There's a phrase in Avodat Zion, which is a Lashana of Shmiras Chukav, which is some people have the minhag to take their tefillin off in the middle of Avodat Zion at this point. Because it's a similar lashon of like it could be the hiratzon part of lishmor chukav. When you see that lashon tomorrow in Avodat Zion, lishmor chukav, so you should know that there are some people who take off their tefillin at that point because it's like as like a kiyum in a sense of this minhag of this older minhag of Eretz Yisrael to have a bracha when you take off your tefillin. So when we have that parallel phrase in Avodat Zion, they would take off their tefillin at that point.
They fully take it off, or they just like lift the.
I think they would fully take it off. Really, I think we hold that you could take off your tefillin after you get the ketusha and uvalet zion. Then it's really no problem, no reason to necessarily leave them on. I mean, you don't want to disturb your davening, but it is good to get that last ketusha and uvalet zion with your tefillin on. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yanai, Amar Rebbe, Kol Shu Kebeitza Beitza Toyimenu. Anything that's like a beitza, meaning in size, right? Anything the size of a beitza, so a beitza is better than it. Rashi says that it's healthier, right? Shir kebeitza shlo tehe beitza tova legufi mena. Anything the size of an egg is less healthy than an egg itself. Meaning eggs are really healthy. Ki also ravin amar tava beasa migugalta mishita kaisi. Solta. So he says that tava beasa, a bea, an egg, is better. Migulgalta, Rashi explains, is a lightly roasted egg. Tzluya lecha v'racha shesorfenos, a lightly roasted. So a lightly roasted egg is better mishita kaisi solta than six kaisi, which is some sort of measurement, Rashi says, it's like a lug, of solta, of fine flour. So one lightly roasted egg is better than six kaisi of soles, which is 36 kebetzos of flour. So it's a lot better. He also Ravdimi. Remember, whenever we see Ravin and Ravdimi constantly, we come from Eretz Yisrael and with these teachings. So he also Ravdimi Amar Tava Beasa Megugalta Mishita, but Mitavisa. But if it's roasted, like not lightly roasted, real roasted, me'arba, so that's only better than four, not than six of these kaisi solta. And muvushalta, and if it's cooked, not roasted, cooked with water, kol shehu, at all, kibetza, kol shehu kibetza, beitza tova himenu. An egg is better than it. So again, just those are keeping track at home. So if you have an egg that's lightly roasted, that's better than about 36 eggs worth of fine flour. If it's dark roast, not light roast, then that's better than four of these taisi, which is 24 eggs of fine flour. But once you've cooked the egg, you have a cooked egg, so now that's going to be better than its worth, its volume in flour, but not much more than that. The exception, livar mibisra, except for meat. Meat is just as good. Yeah, that's right. That's right, boys. Right. So meat is just as good as eggs. So b'teavon. Okay. Next piece of the Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Amer Afilu Achal Shelek V'Hulei. Rabbi Kiva had a big chiddush. Even if you eat a shelek, a raw vegetable, for sustenance purposes, you'll bench. Whoa. You bench on a vegetable, a satisfying vegetable, a nourishing vegetable. Gemara asks, Umi kamini to have a shelik mizoni? Come on. Says, vegetable is a sustaining food that you have a suda on your vegetable? Here's dinner. Dinner's a carrot. Right? What? Really?
Amar Rav Ashi.
What?
Just burn a fasces.
Rabbi Akiva holds that it's benching. You bench. You'll bench on a vegetable if that's your dinner. So let's clarify. The Gemara says, is it possible? Amar Rav Ashi bekelach shel kruv. With a kelach of a kruv, which is cabbage. Right? So if you're having a cabbage, that is something that is like a stalk of cabbage. That is going to be something that is sustaining, as we're going to see in a brisa below. Okay, so if you're eating something like a cabbage, that's a sustaining food. People actually made meals out of that. Karub shanu. That's when we taught it. Okay. Tana rabbanan tichul yafel shinayim v'kasha levenei ayim. Nice little rhyme here. Tichul spleen of an animal, spleen meat yafel shinayim v'kasha levenei ayim. It's good for the teeth, bad for the intestines. Karishin, Rashi says karsi, leek, kashin l'shinayim, v'yafin l'vnei me'ayim. Good for the teeth, bad for the teeth, good for the intestines. Kol yarek chai morik. Anything any raw vegetable, morik. It empties out or pales, like empties out the blood or someone, the appearance of someone's face, Rashi says, the tor panim, right? So we're going to explain each of these pieces, but it meaning that raw vegetables make someone pale. The chol katan maktin, anything that is small makes someone small. So Rashi explains that it's anything that didn't grow to it shalo gadol kol tzarko, says Rashi. We're going to explain this more further.
Growth?
So, what?
It stops his growth or like.
Yeah, I guess so. It's growth stunting if you eat from an animal that hasn't reached a certain portion of its proper growth yet. We'll see what that means. The chol nefesh meishiv es nefesh, and anything that's alive, that meaning that was once alive that you're eating, meaning not like plants, like animals, but Rashi seems to say that it's davar chay nechol sholem kigon dagim ketanim shegadlu kol tzarkon. So like if you eat small fish and you eat them sholem, you eat them whole. So that's meshivas nefesh. That revitalizes someone. It brings someone their life. It returns life if you eat something whole that was alive, but not while it's alive, obviously. V'chol akarav lenefesh, and anything that's close to the life of an animal, meshivas nefesh. That also restores someone's life. What it means over here, it means a life, a certain part of the body that's particularly alive. The Gemara will explain. A little bit below, kruv lemazon v'tardin l'refua. Cabbage is for mazon sustenance, as we said earlier. V'tardin l'refua, and beets are for health, which I think we also mentioned a few blotter earlier. We spoke about the greatness of beets, right? I think that was beets. Beets is good for your heart. I think we mentioned that. I think it was beets. Yeah. Oilo labayis shehalefes overes besocho, and but woe is to the house that turnips pass through it. Rashi just says bias. It's a reference to the keres, to the stomach. So woe is to the stomach that gets turnips. Okay. Amar Mar tichol yafel shinayim v'kashal v'nei me'ayim. Mar says that the spleen is good for the teeth and bad for the heart, bad for the intestines. So it's good for the dentist will recommend it, but what do you call them? Gastrologists?
Gastroenterologist.
Yeah, that one. That one, yeah. GI doctors. So they don't recommend it. So matakante. So what do you do about this? You want right? You want to get rid of the plaque. You want to strengthen the teeth, but you don't want to have a stomach ache. So now I'll say, vineshtayo, chew on it and then spit it out. Creation. So these leeks, kashin lishinayim, v'yafin livinayim, matakante. So what do you do about it? You want to benefit from the good stomach stuff, but you don't want to destroy your teeth. L'shaklinehu, cook it, v'navlinehu, and then swallow it, right? Good tips. Kol yerek chai morik, anything that is a yerek chai, it's a raw vegetable, morik, it pales. By the way, just notice the alliteration is intentional here. Yerek and morik, right? You have to appreciate that. And it could be it's more than just poetic, but it could be also it's showing us something deeper about the essence of a vegetable itself. But I'm not holding to that. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak says, "B'se'ud rishona shel achar hakaza." This is referring to the first meal after hakaza, after bloodletting. As we mentioned a couple of times already, they used to do bloodletting. We just actually had on the previous daf about having wine after bloodletting. Right, that was people would have like a suda of wine after they would let blood. So also over here, when is a raw vegetable is that not good for somebody and makes someone pale? That's at the first meal after bloodletting. Right, usually at the blood drives they have things a little bit better than raw vegetables, at least the ones I've been to. Okay, remember Rav Yitzchak Kol Ochel Yerek Kodem Arba Shos Asur Saper Menu. Anybody who eats a yerek, perhaps. I think raw vegetable, I think that's what it's talking about, before 4 hours of the day, meaning like early in the morning, anyone who eats that early, also, you're not allowed to talk to him. Wow. Well, my time, what's the reason? Mishum Recha. Because of his breath. Because of his bad breath. Which they assumed at the time, and it could be something changed, that it would be even damaging, this bad breath. Okay, so Vamar Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak said another thing. Also, Ladam Shelcha Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Shos. Also, he said it's usher. So it's usher for you to do it, and you shouldn't talk to somebody who did. Amemar Marzutra Ravashi Hava Yasve. Amemar Marzutra Ravashi were all sitting down eating. Aisu Kamayu Yerek Chai. They brought out raw vegetables Kodem Arba Shos early in the morning. Amemar Ravashi Echo. Marzutra lo achal. Marzutra didn't eat with them. They were eating it. Amrule. So they said to him, "Ma'atech? What are you thinking? Like, why are you not eating?" Damar Rav Yitzchak Kol Chayera Kodem Arba Shos Asher Sapre Menu Mishum Recha. You're not eating it because of the teaching of Rav Yitzchak that you're not allowed to eat before the raw vegetables this early in the morning. Presumably, by the way, it has to do the early in the morning piece. Rashi says she'enos man suda. People usually haven't eaten that. Ve'reach kashel of ne'adam ha'misaper mimo kodem achila shaguf rekan. That when people are hungry in the morning, so eating raw vegetables on an empty stomach would seem to cause. Or people who are hungry who haven't eaten, they have an empty stomach, and they smell the breath of raw vegetables. They felt it was damaging. I don't know. I haven't done research on that, but that's what it is. That's why the morning hours are it's the factor. Okay. So anyway, so they say to him, we're eating, you're not eating with us. You're not eating these raw vegetables. Why? Is it because Rav Yitzchak says not to eat these raw vegetables? But you're talking to us and we're eating it. Meaning Rav Yitzchak said two things. He said, don't eat it and don't talk to anybody who is. So you're not eating, but you're talking to us. So why are you not eating? If you don't hold like Rav Yitzchak, then why do you hold like Rav Yitzchak? And he essentially answers as they questioned. He didn't really change anything. Amalu, he says to them, Ana ki idach de Rav Yitzchak severely. Dam Rav Yitzchak asher lad adam yishayachal yerekai kodem arba shaos. I hold like the other. I hold like one memar of Rav Yitzchak. I don't hold like the other. I don't know if he spoke to his local doctor or whatever it is. He said, I agree with Rav Yitzchak that you shouldn't eat it. However, so I'm not eating it, but I don't like the Rav Yitzchak's other statement that you can't talk to anybody who is. I'm fine.
So he's his own girsa.
So I don't know if it's a girsa like he doesn't hold of the other girsa Rav Yitzchak, or he did his own investigation and felt like one wasn't necessary. I'm not sure why he holds like this. I mean, yeah, like it's a little bit strange that like they ask a question and he just answers yeah, like. Yeah. Taka. Like, you hold like Rav Yitzchak, but not like Rav Yitzchak? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, great. Kol katan makdin. So anything that's small, that didn't grow to a certain size, makes you small, or inhibits growth. Rav Chisda, afilu gadya barzuza. Rav Chisda says, even a gadya barzuza, even a, right, usually to chad gadya betray zuza. This is, but even a gadya barzuza, even, which seems to be expensive. Agadya Barzuza, Rashi says, Klomar Shamein Vatov Shishav Azuz. So I never appreciated how expensive the goat in Chag Gadya was. Right? Because this, the Rashi saying over here that a good goat, a good fat Choshava, you know, Geshmaka goat goes for Azuz. So the Chag Gadya is betray Zuze. That's really a big deal. Anyway, so even one of these good goats, but if it didn't reach But if it's small, it didn't reach its growth, that's not good for a person's personal growth. V'lo amran ela delesbe riva. But they only said if it didn't grow a quarter of its growth. So an animal that grew a quarter of its growth, that's okay. So I don't know what that means for like, I don't know how we hold like this with halacha and with that regarding veal. I mean, there might be other halacha problems like veal, but with the Tzar Bei Chaim and perhaps other things. But I'm not sure how we hold regarding this lemaisa of an animal's growth. Also, it could be, you know, it's talking about, I don't know if it's talking spiritual. It seems to be a physical thing that they're aware of, that it's not good for a person's growth. Okay. So aval east bay riva, but if it grew a fourth of its growth, lay slun ba, no problem. I don't know if it's a fourth, like meaning really like a fifth, like a fourth from the outside. I'm not sure. No, actually, no, that wouldn't make sense. Maybe it'd be a third. Okay, ignore that. Okay, next thing. Kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. Anything that's a life that you eat the whole thing, it returns a life. Amar of papa feel gildene de begile. Even these little fish that are among reeds, which Rashi tells us, Dugan Gitani Ma'od Mutsuin Ba Kran Ba Gamba Ain Darkan Lagada Yoser. Aval Dug Katan Mimin Dug Gadov Logado Rova Zeu Katan Maktin. So Rashi just clarifies that we're talking about like thing meaning wait, I thought small things are not good to eat. No. So we're talking about things that are naturally small. That they, I mean, even their full growth is very small. That you can eat them whole. That's what you should eat. That's a good thing to eat whole, right? But something that's generally bigger, then you shouldn't. You shouldn't eat it small enough. You know, you don't get the benefits there. Okay, kol akarav lenefesh meshiv nefesh. Anything that's close to the life force of an animal returns your soul if you eat it. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Unka, the throat. The throat is right. That's the life force of an animal. That's where it is. That's typically where they're killed. Amar Lei Rava the Shamei. Rava said to his attendant, Ki Maisi Li Umtza De Bisra. When you bring me a piece of meat, Tarach, make the effort, please. V'Aisi Li Mehecha De Makriv Lebe Baruch. And please bring it. Please bring me from the place where they make the bracha. Meaning the bracha of the shechita, they make it on the throat. I could also suggest that a different pshat is that it could be that the throat itself is called the Bei Baruch, right? The place of our, because our brachas come from our throat, right? So that's where it stems from. It could be also that's why it's such a good thing. It's such a powerful thing because it's like a reflection of our own throats, and that's a special thing. If you use it, that's the Bei Baruch. If your throat is the Bei Baruch, so it could be that it's beneficial to you in that regard. Okay, separate pshat. Kruv limazon, v'tardin refua. Cabbage is for sustenance, and beets are for health. Not just health, for healing. Kruv limazon in refua lo. Is it true that kruv is only sustenance, but it's not for refuah. V'hatani, but we learned in the Brisa, shisha devar ma'ar pin esachola, mecholyo, v'refuas and refuah. There are six things that heal a sick person from his illness, and the refuah is a good refuah. It's effective of refuah. V'elohen, these are the six things. Kruv, cabbage, on the list. V'tardin and beets, umay sisin, devash, but there's a different gear, so that might be probably more correct. Yavesh. Mesisin yavesh, I looked this up, it's pennyroyal. I looked that up. What it was, some sort of plant. So dry pennyroyal. The keva, the heres, the yaseres, the kaved. So keva is the maw, it's like the jaw of the animal. The heres is the womb of the animal, like harayon, the pregnancy. That's where it comes from. The yaseres kaved is the diaphragm of an animal. So these six things are good for healing, which includes cabbage. Ela ema kruv af lemazon. No, so it means when we say that kruv is for mazon, it means also for mazon, but it's also healing. But beets are just for refuah, not for mazon. Oy lo lebayis shehalefes oberes besocho. Woe is to the house or the stomach through which terms pass. Ani, is this true? V'amar le Rava l'shamei. But Rava said to his attendant, I love this line. Ki chazis lafta b'shuka. If you see lefes, if you see turnips in the marketplace, lo tema li b'mai karachta rifta. Don't bother asking me what are you eating your bread with today. You know the answer. So you see turnips in the shuk, you know what I want my bread with. Love it. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, so wait, hold on, contradiction. Rava loved these turnips, but what was to the stomach that has turnips? So Amar Abaye, mibli basar. Rava Amar mibli yayin. Abaye Rava say that turnips without meat, or turnips without wine, so if you cook the turnips with meat, Rashi explains, or if you have wine after it, so then it cancels out the negative effect of the turnips, and the turnips are gishmak. Otherwise, not. Itmar, it was stated similarly, the similar response to this contradiction. Rav Amar Mibli Basar, Rishmul Amar Mibli Eitzim, Rabbi Yochan Amar Mibli Yain. So Rav says similarly to Abaye, that it's without, if you didn't cook it with meat. Shmuel says without Eitzim. Rashi explains that you didn't cook it with a lot of wood, meaning cook it very much so. If you cook it, turnips a lot, with a lot of wood, then it's good. And Rabbi Yochan says without wine, like Rav said. Amarle Rava the Rav Papa. Rava said to Rav Papa, remember Rava is the one of the two Amorayim who said wine. So he said to Rav Papa, Sudani, beer maker. It's actually interesting. I was looking up. I have a book about Tanaim and Amorayim, and I was looking at Rav Papa the other day. I was curious about the incident with where he made up what Rava said, according to one Gerson in the Gemara. So I want to see anything about Rav Papa I could learn about his personality to see if it matches. So what I learned was that Rav Papa was a beer brewer, and then all of a sudden I got to this a day later. So Rav Papa, less than a day later actually, so Rav Papa Sudani, so he said to Rav Papa, Sudani, beer brewer, Anan Tavrina Lava Bistra Vachamra, we break the harshness, we temper the damage of the turnips with wine, with meat and with wine. Atun delo nafish lechu chamra. You, that you don't have so much wine because you have beer instead. So b'may tavrisula, what do you do to break that harshness of the turnip? Amarle bitsive. He says we cook it very much so. It's interesting, by the way, that Rava says we do it with wine and meat. So it looks like he includes Abaye's opinion there, because Abaye is the one who said meat. So I wonder if Rava argues, if Rava was just being inclusive, including Abaye, or I wonder if he actually agrees. He's like, yeah, meat and also wine. I'm not sure. An anecdote that supports this. Ki ha devesehu de Rav Papa basar de mevash la la. So the wife of Rav Papa, that after she would cook it, tavrala be tamnan ofe parsaisa, she would break the strength of the turnip with tamnon, with 80 ufe parsaisa, 80 like logs of wood. That's how much she would have to cook it in such a strength. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, dug katan maliach pa'am, so a maliach shehu memis. A salted fish, there are times where it can actually kill a person. Bishiva, on the seventh day, Bishiva asar b'asrim v'shiva. On the seventh day after it was salted, the 17th day, and the 27th day, if you eat the salted fish on these days, it could actually kill a person. It's so potent. Vamrila be'esrin uvishlosha. And there are those who say on the 23rd day. V'lo amran ela b'metave v'lo b'metave. But this is only if it's cooked, but it's not cooked. Ava metave shaper leislanba. But if it's cooked well, the salted fish is cooked well, then it's not a problem. Udalo metave, and even if it's not cooked well, shaper, not cooked well, lo amran ela delo shasa basre shichra. It's only if you don't drink beer afterwards. Aval shasa basre shichra, if you're of age, and you have a shichra afterwards, leislanba. That's not a problem to have it, even if it's uncooked. Okay, well, just a couple more lines, and we'll wrap up the parak. Baruch Hashem. Vashose mayim letzama v'chulei. Somebody who drinks water to quench his thirst. V'chulei lafuke mai. What else are you drinking water for? So Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin lafuke leman de chankakte umtza. That to exclude somebody who's like chanek, being strangled, umtza, on his meat, on his piece of meat. So someone who's choking, he drinks the choke, so he doesn't make a bracha there. I think also the halacha we hold, even if someone's drinking to get rid of dehydration, anything that's not to quench thirst, like for health reasons, you're drinking it to help something go down, you don't make a bracha on that water. Last piece, Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Borei Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronan. So Rabbi Tarfon says that what do you make on water? Borei Nefashos. So we suggest when we read the Mishnah, there's the first opinion says Shahakol. Rabbi Tarfon says Borei Nefashos. So I said, maybe it looks like it's a bracha rishon and bracha achrona. That's what I don't think I said it, but that's what I initially thought. But it seems to me, no, both of them are talking about the bracha rishona. So Amar Le Rava Bar Rav Hanan La Baye. Rav Hanan said to Abaye, Varmi La Rav Yosef, and some say he said to Rav Yosef, Hilchos Amai, what's the halacha? Do we say Shahakol, Borei Nefashos? What is it? So Amar Le, so he said to him, Pok Chazi Mai Ama Davar. go out and see what people are doing. See what the Minhag Olam is. And the answer is, but that, Rashi says, V'kvar nagu levarach b'tchila shahakul v'sobar nefashos rabbis chasana al kol ma shebrasa. So that's the halacha. That's what we know. Minhag Olam. Look outside, see what it is. If everyone's doing shahakul v'nefashos, that's what the halacha is. Very interesting. Last line on the parak, because it makes you think a lot about what we do and the importance of the way of Mesorah and the way people conduct themselves the halacha. And Hadron Aloch Ketzin Mavarchim. Mr. Hashem, we should be Zocha to finish Moreni, we're Prakin and Mesechus together. Mr. Hashem.
Thank you very much.
I apologize for the length.